Okay, good morning, Bereshis Rabbi Crown. We are on top of Samach Tes Amid Aleph. So we had been talking about there's two types of support that are provided for the daughter, even particularly after the father dies. One is called Parnasa. Parnasa typically refers to the dowry. And the other is Mazonos. Mazonos is involved with actual providing them some sort of support. And we had learned that the Parnasa, the dowry, even if there's property that was sold, then you could still be collected from that property back to give the daughter, after the father passes away, the support that she needs as part of the dowry, not necessarily the ongoing support. So starting with the very top of Samach Tes Amid Aleph, Talalei Rav Lerebi Beinichiti. So Rav wrote a letter to Rebbe, and he had this interesting question. Ha'achim Sheshibdu Mahu. What's the story if you have brothers who Shibdu, we'll discuss what that means, they Shibdu whatever the property was. Can the sister still collect her dowry from these properties that were shibdu? So Havi Yasvei Rabbi Chia Kameis. Rabbi Chia was sitting in front of Rebbe when this question was asked. And Armalei asked him, what's he talking about when he uses the word shibdu? Machro o Mishkano. Does he mean that he sold them, meaning that the properties were sold and now they're going to gather back from the properties that were sold to give her the dowry? Oh, Mishkino, or does it just mean that he gave them as collateral, and therefore they're going to use the property that was collateral as to support her as part of her dowry? Amalei, Rebbe said to him, "My nafkamina, what's the difference? Bein machru, bein b'shem mishkino. Whether they were sold or whether they were given as collateral, motzi and leparnasa, we use them to give the daughter her dowry. The ein motzi and lemazonos, and we don't use it for giving her ongoing support." The Rav, so Rav asked this question this way. Why did he ask this question this way? E machro kimibayile. If he was asking about where they sold them, nichtu le machro. Why didn't he say brothers who sold? E mishkino. If his question was about property that was given as collateral, kamibayile nichtu le mishkino. Let him write the question that way. Why does he write this question in this somewhat ambiguous sort of way? The Gemara answers, Rav Tarveyu Kumayla. He really wanted to ask both questions. V'savar, and his logic was, Ikas Vidale Mikru, if I write the question about brothers who sold the property, Hai Nicha, everything will be fine. Ishalach Lehem Demotzian. If everything would be fine if we learned that if you sold the property, that we're allowed to collect back from the sold property, Kol Shekein Mishkino, because if it's something that's already sold, certainly that would also apply to property that was just used as collateral, wasn't totally given away to somebody else. So you can learn if you said it would apply to sold, you could learn out from that Mishkino. However, Ishalach Le Ein Motzian, but if he was to say no, we don't collect back from property that was sold, Akaski Mishkini Kumaile, I would still have to wonder about property that was only collateralized. Does that apply to that as well? So just by asking the question that way, I wouldn't get the answer. E Kasavle Mishkinu, and if I wrote to him only about property that was used as collateral, E Shalakai De Ein Motzian, if I were to learn, if it were to answer what would come back as, we don't collect from property that's been used as collateral, Kol Shekein Machro, I would say certainly if you don't take it from property that's only been used for collateral, certainly you don't take it from property that has been sold. However, Yishalach Le Motzian, but if he came back to me and he said, yes, we do collect from property that collateral was taken, Akasi Machro Kum Baile, I would still have a question about property that was sold. Therefore, Exav Le Shibdu. Therefore, I wrote the question this way, the Mashma Haki or Mashma Haki, because it lets you go either way. You can derive, and that's ultimately what happened, that Rebbe said what he said. Rebbe said that you, either way, you take it out for purposes of the dowry, and you get the money out of it for the purpose of the dowry, but you don't get it out for the purposes of providing mazonos.
So if I sold the land.
Mm-hmm.
So I could then go back to the, you go back to the owner. Does the person who bought it get compensated anyway, or is it just?
That's a great question. I guess they have some sort of issue, but you know, in theory, there's like a lien on their property based upon this. But I don't know what the you can get it back, but I don't know. I'm assuming there's some sort of something that has to be happen later on to make them whole, but I don't know.
I don't think people buy it and know that they're buying subject to these potential claims. That was the way the system works.
Right, but usually you could check, like there's documents to say, hey,
right, that's always a question.
Right.
The first time, where did they have such records, like, you know, telling the liens and records?
That's what I mean. That's the more always discusses, like, okay, what's reasonable to assume that you would know? So it would be reasonable to assume that they know they have a daughter.
There's a daughter, and therefore, if he dies, and the daughter has to be supported.
Different between the zonos.
Right.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Right. Okay, so Rebbe's view, as we learned, is that either way, you would get it back. Rabbi Yochanan said differently. Echad zeh, whether it is a dowry or it's for support, ein motzia, we don't come back with, we don't bring it back. Now, Rebbe is a Tana, and Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora. You don't often see an Amora come along and say something different than what a Tana said. So, Ibai Luhus, they asked on this, Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shamalei Hadi Rabbi, is it the case that he did not hear what Rebbe said and therefore was giving his own view of it? V'i Shamalei Havi Mekabele, but had he heard it, he would have done what Rebbe said. Oh, Dilma Shamalei V'lo Mekabele, or maybe he knew what Rebbe said, but he had a different point of view. So we don't know. Is it a question of he just didn't know that Rebbe had this view and then he would have just followed Rebbe? Or he just said, I know what Rebbe says, but, you know, I have my own way of going. So we try to resolve the question. Tashma, Itmar, we had learned. Mishamei, someone died. V'heniach shtei vanos umein. He leaves over two daughters and a son. V'kadma harishona, and the first daughter comes and gets married. V'natla iser nechasim, and she gets a tenth of the father's estate for her dowry. We learned something similar last week. Below he speak of Shnila Gabbas, and before the second daughter got married and could collect her tenth of the estate, Achemesabain, the son dies. So when the son dies, right, the way it works is that if the father dies, the son is the inheritor. If the son dies, then the inheritance goes to the daughters. So the son dies. And this is a case where the son had no children of his own, because then it would be more complicated about the inheritance. But there's a son with no sons of his own, so therefore it goes to the daughters. So in that case, the daughters are now inheriting this. Rabbi Yochanan in this case says Shnia v'yitra. She gets her share of the estate, but she loses that extra tenth. In other words, you might think that she should be entitled to collect a tenth first, and then whatever's left over gets split 50-50. He says, no, she only gets her 50% of it. So basically, this is sort of trying to prove that Rabbi Yochanan seems to say that because this property is, in theory, sold, quote-unquote, because it now belongs to two other people who are Yorshim, she's lost her opportunity to get a dowry. So because you can't collect back, that even though it's the same principles involved, it's now in a different state. It's as if it's been sold. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is trying to prove that Rabbi Yochanan holds differently, that we do not collect back in that case. So Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said to Rabbi Yochanan, Gedolah Mezo Amru, that the Rabbanan said something even more significant. He's going to quote Rebbe. He's going to quote that, he's going to quote something that the Rabbanan said, that Motzien LeParnasa, that we do collect when it comes to Parnasa, V'ein Motzien LeMezonos, but we don't collect when it comes to Mezonos. V'at Amart, but you said that she gives up her right even for Parnasa in this case, right? So so the Rabbanan said when the property was sold that she would not have the ability to collect the dowry. And you say that when the daughter she gives it up. So what are you trying to say here? V'im Isa, and if it's so that Rabbi Yochanan had not known what Rebbe had said previously, Rebbe who would allow the property to be collected. Namely, he should have said to Rabbi Chanina, Man Amra, who said this ruling? In other words, if Rabbi Chanina is giving him some other information, he should have asked, who said this? So that might be trying to prove that maybe he disagreed, right? And maybe what really happened is Rabbi Yochanan had not heard Rebbe's ruling that was different than his point of view. But, and when he would have heard it, he would have agreed with Rebbe. And what's different here is the Ika Revach Besa, because in this case, there's enough to go around, meaning that you have this estate. She's now getting 50% of the estate. And because she's getting 50% of the estate, she has no need for this 10% dowry. So because there's no need for it in this case, and she's one of the principals that are involved, it wouldn't apply. So Armalei Rav Yemer Rav Ashi. Rav Yemer says Rav Ashi kind of questions this. Ela Ma'ata, what about in this case? Ashkecha Mitzia Ba'alma. Let's say this orphan daughter finds a bar of gold or something very valuable, something or more valuable than the value of the dowry. The Ika Revach Besa, in which case she has enough. She doesn't necessarily need this dowry anymore. Hachinami Do Yahavin Le Isur Nechasim. Does that mean that she's not still entitled to the tenth of the estate? Right? Just because she has more, she's somehow gotten it come into more money, that doesn't relieve her or having the right to collect from the estate. So Armalei, Ana Revach Besam Hani Nechse Kamina. What's different here is that it's all the same property. We're all talking about the same thing. So it's not like there's an external amount of money coming on here. What we're talking about here is it's the same piece of land, it's the same houses, it's the same whatever, and she's going to get 50% of it. So if she's going to get 50% of it, then we don't have to worry about her taking this 10%. So that's why he might hold differently. Amar Amemar. So Amemar says, Bas Yoreshes Havaya. So when the daughter gets this tenth, what this is trying to ask now is, okay, the daughter is entitled to this 10%. What status does that give her? Does that mean she's now inherits 10% of the estate, or she's now a creditor who is owed 10% of the estate? Amrle Rav Ashi Lameimar, Ilu Bai Lisluke Bizuye. So what means by this is if she's an inheritor, then she has 10% rights to every part of the estate. So if you were to say that the brothers wanted to say to her, you know what, here is the monetary equivalent of your 10%, go, you know, have a good day, we'll see you later. They can't do this, right? She's entitled that if they have 10 fields, she's entitled to 10% of each of the 10 fields. They can't just give her $100,000 and say, you know, that you're good to go. So he's asking, is that the case? Armalei Ein, Rav Ashi says, yes, they can't make her take money. They can only, you know, she has the right to 10% of every piece of property. So you're saying that if they want to only give her, let's say there's 10 fields, and they want to give her one of the 10 fields instead of giving her 10% of 10 fields, they can't do that. Hachinami Dolomatsi Mesalake, they can't do that. Amrlei, yes. He can't do that. So he's basically saying this is trying to prove that she's an inheritor and not a creditor. But Rav Ashi holds differently. Rav Ashi Amar, Bas Balas Klov Haivaya. That the daughter is really just a creditor, so she's owed 10%. V'af Ameimar Hadarbe. And even Ameimar, eventually, even though what we said earlier is that he seems to say that she was an inheritor, he came back and he followed what Rav Ashi said. Amar Rabin Yume Berei Derav Nechume. Have Kamina Kameh D'Ameimar. I was once sitting in front of Ameimar. V'achai V'asiyai Hai Isisela Kameh. And this woman came before him. And she was demanding a tenth of the estate for her dowry. And I would think that he would say, that if the brothers wanted to kick her off the land or not give her anything else by paying her off, they could have allowed her. Because I heard the brothers say, that the brothers said, if we had the money, we would have just bought her out. And Ameimar didn't object. So this seems to imply that even though initially that a Maimer said differently. Ultimately, when push came to shove, he would have allowed it to go like Rav Ashi, where there was the ability to just buy her out for the estate, from the estate with 10% of the value. V'hashad amris balas klovai. Now that we can learn from this that she's just a creditor and therefore is only entitled to 10% in whatever fashion. The Abba o de Achai. So is she a creditor of the father, meaning a creditor of the estate, or o de Achai, or is she a creditor of the brothers themselves? L'mai nafkamina. What's the difference? L'migbe l'veinin ishalel b'shvuya. So just a couple of terms. So when it comes to fields have different levels of quality. For the purpose of this case, there's what's known as Beinonis, which is average land, and there's known as Ziburis, which is the lowest level land. And the rule is that when it comes to collecting, if a daughter comes along and wants to collect from her the estate or someone who owed money to the father who is now dead, she has to make a shvua that the father never collected on, or she never collected it earlier, and she could only collect from the most inferior of the lands. However, if there's a regular creditor, if a person A owes money to person B, and he has, he can come to the person and say, I'm here to collect, and I want your average land. So there's a difference about whether it's collecting from an individual or it's collecting from the equivalent of the estate. So Tashma, how do we prove this out, which way it goes? The Ravina agabale bartu de Rav Ashi. Ravina collected a dowry for Rav Ashi's daughter. Now Rav Ashi had two sons and one daughter. So the two sons are Mar Bered Rav Ashi and Rav Sama Bered Rav Ashi. So when he went to collect from the dowry from Ravina Agavil Bati Rav Ashi, when he went to collect for the dowry for Rav Ashi's daughter, Mimar Bered Rav Ashi, Mar, the son of Rav Ashi, who was the son of Rav Ashi and was the brother of this girl, Beinonis V'lo V'shvua. He collected directly from him the average lands without having to swear in any way. So in other words, it implies that the brother himself was the actual, he was the one who inherited it, and therefore she was a creditor to the brother himself. However, mi bereid Rav Sama bereid Rav Ashi, what happened was Rav Sama, who was Rav Ashi's son, had died, and it was now his son that she was dealing with, that they were dealing with. So they weren't dealing with the son of Rav Ashi, they were dealing with the grandson of Rav Ashi for the other half of the estate. So in other words, she's no longer dealing with the brother who inherited it. She's now dealing again with an estate, right? So she has to make this, she has to follow it the same way. In that case, Ziburis Beshua. In that case, he had to collect only the inferior land and do it with a shvua. So from all of this, we would learn that she is a creditor of the brothers, because when it came to Mar Bered Rav Ashi, who was one of her brothers, who was the actual son of the father, she was able to go about it with average land without a shvua. It was only in the case of where that person had died and now it was an inheritance situation, she has to go back and follow the other procedure, which is she has to swear and only collect with from the inferior lands. Shalach le Rav Nechemia bereid Rav Yosef. Rav Nechemia, son of Yosef, sent the following: L'Rabba bar Rav Huna Zuta Mehardai, to Rabba Rav Huna Zuta of Nehardai, ki asya ha'isa l'kameich. When this woman, so there's a specific woman that was coming to collect, and when she was coming to collect, he sent her along with this letter. And what he said is, ki ha'isa l'kameich, when this woman comes to collect, igba isin achasim afilu mistrabula. So what this is trying to prove is that when you're trying to collect, you can only collect from real property. You can only collect from things that are actual property. So he says you have to collect a tenth from her. She's even entitled to the base of a mill. So any kind of property that you have is considered real property. So when you're collecting from real property, you can even collect from the base of the mill. Amar Rav Ashi ki havi bei Rav Kahana. When we were in the yeshiva Rav Kahana, havi megavi nafilim alma debase. We would even collect from the rent payable for houses in the estate, which is also considered equivalent of movable property. So again, this is all trying to prove that when you collect from for the dowry, it's all from the movable property. Shalach Rav Anan Rav Huna. Rav Anan sent a letter to Rav Huna. Huna Chavrina Shalim. Huna are Shalom to you. In other words, he called him Huna, not Rav Huna. He asked you, "Hi, Isla Kamech." When this woman comes in front of you, Agbay Isur Nechase, collect from her a tenth from her father's estate, which is, she's entitled. Have Yasi Rav Sheshes Kamech. Rav Sheshes was sitting in front of Rav Huna when Rav Anan's message came to him. Rav Huna was not at all happy that he didn't call him Rav Huna; he just called him Huna. Amalei. He said to Rav Sheshes, Zil Emele, go tell Rav Anan the following message. Ubishamti he mandal amrele. And if you don't say it exactly the way I'm telling it to you, I'm going to put you in chayrim. He said to him, Anan, 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 mi mikarkeke or mitaltele. Shall I collect the property only from movable property or from real property? Uman yasebe mirzeche bereshe. And when you're in a house of an avel, who, which is what marzichei means, who sits at the head of the table? So he's asking him this, you know, complicated question. Azal Rav Sheshes lekamandra. So Rav Sheshes went to Rav Anan to give him this message. Amalei Mar Rabba, you know, Rav Anan, my master. Rav Huna Rabbi the Rabban. Rav Huna is a, you know, master's master. V'shamute shamistlo amalei. I'm about to tell you something that's not a nice message. And I'm only doing it because he told me that he's going to put me in chayrim if I don't say this to you. And if he did not put me in chayrim, I wouldn't call you by your first name. So then he said, Anan Anan, Mikarte Mitaltle, do you collect from real property or from just movable, from real property or, from, or even from movable property? Uman Yasebe Merzacha Bereshe. And who sits at the head of the table in this house of Marzachai? Azar of Anan lekameh de Rav Ukva, and then Rav Anan went before Rav Ukva. Amalei, he said to him, "Have mar hachei shalach le Rav Huna. See the way Rav Huna sent me a letter, and he called what you know. He called me the way he called me. Anan Anan. He didn't like also that he was called by his first name. V'od Mirzacha de Shachalei. He asked me this question about Mirzacha. V'lo yadana ma'ininu, and I don't even know what he's talking about. I don't know what the question is. So Bar Amalei, Rav Ukva said to him, "Emily, easy. Tell me." Gufa de ufta hechli. What was the actual incident? What happened when you talked to him? Armalei, and he told him, Hachi v'hachi avi ma'aseh. He told him exactly how it all played out. Armalei, gavra d'lo yada ma'inayinu merzachei, a person who does not know the rule when it comes to marzichei, when this house of mourning, shalach rei Rav Huna, do you send a message to Rav Huna where you call him Huna Chavrin, you call him, hey, my buddy Huna? So he's telling him, you know, you gotta know where you stand. So the Gemara finally says, it tries to just to close out the story, my Marzichai, what is this Marzichai situation? It's an avel, it's a house of an avel. Don't go to a house of a mourner. So what do we learn from this? How do we know that when you have a base avel and there's a table around, that the avel sits at the head of the table? I will choose their ways, I will sit at the head, I will be like a rest. So the Gemara asks, Yenachem Acher Mashma. So maybe Yenachem means that others, that the one who's consoling others, maybe it shouldn't be the avil himself who sits at the head, but people that are giving him Nicham Avelim. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Yunucham, it really says Yunucham, the person that will be mourned. Mazucha Amram Mehacha, we learn from this, Vasar Mizrach Mesruchim, Mazarach Vinasar Usruchim, that you're just learning from these psukim that maybe these psukim are showing, trying to show who should it be. But bottom line is that it implies that the Avil himself sits ahead of the tables. Just to conclude, Amarava Hilchasad Halacha is, Mimikarki Vilumatalta, you only collect from real property, not from movables. Bainlam Zoni, Bainlam Kuksuva, Bainlam Fardasa. In any of these cases, you only collect from the actual real property itself. And with this, we'll stop. Everyone should have a wonderful day.